evening, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart. So excited to be here this week to spend another hour with you, enjoying each other's company, learning new things, talking about different subjects, and just relaxing, going with the flow, and let's see where this hour takes us. I want to challenge your mind. I want to talk about things that make you think and do inner work for yourself. Things that challenge you to recognize certain traits that you may have or that a loved one may have that need some help, or some traits that maybe you admire the most about a person that you would like to exemplify, and how you can obtain that as well and create the person that you really are inside and the person that you're really meant to be. And when I say create, that doesn't come from an artificial standpoint. It's always a metamorphosis. We're continuing to learn and to grow. Life is a journey, truly. And the older we get, I feel like that's when we're more open to learning new things. Not necessarily in all cases. Some people, like myself, have made it our life's work to constantly learn and grow and hopefully evolve. But generally speaking, the reason I'm talking this way is because this week in particular, I've had several instances of people who are older, not old, though. I don't like to say old, because old is a number. Old is how you feel. Age is how you feel. But people that are about my age, and I don't consider myself old by any means. I have the heart of a young child sometimes, and the wonder of a young child, and the energy of a teenager, and the excitement of a young kid. You know, it's all a matter of perspective, right? But couple people that are older, struggling with their identities and who they are and where they've come in life and why certain choices that they made that they thought would be better and help their families and their personal situations kind of blew up in their face, in the sense that they found out that the way that they did things wasn't the best way necessarily to raise their family. And I know I'm speaking very broad here, and you know typically I will do that until I get to the heart of a matter. And so two situations this week that I encountered that I'd like to talk to you about, because I think it would be helpful for you, the listener, to see if maybe you identify with some of these things, or maybe you could, in your mind, think back to an experience that you may have had that may have been similar, and think about how you handled that situation, or how you would have handled the situation now, looking back, if you had the knowledge then that you have now, if you had the perspectives then that you have now. How far have you come in your journey? How far have you come in your journey? And what does that mean for you? And what does that mean for the people around you? That's kind of where I'm going with this today. Because I'm talking to people, and in some cases, people that are just, they're very close family members that I love dearly. And I see them being sad for choices that they made in their lives that they thought were going to be the best choices they could have made at the time. And it's sad to see, but I'm hoping and I'm helping them to learn and grow from those experiences. Because that's what this is all about, experiences. We can't beat ourselves up for mistakes that we've made. We did the best that we could with what we had at that time. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes some of us many, many years to be able to incorporated just different perspective into our lives, or to be open to a different type of environment, let's say, or a different type of way of dealing with people or raising our families. So, I mean, everybody's heard the story, the old adage. I know myself firsthand as being the oldest child, that when I came around, I mean, everybody was tough on me. Everybody was strict with me, and there were rules and there were guidelines, and especially being a little girl, there were certain parameters that I knew I could not broach, and trust me, my fence was small when I was growing up. I had a lot of rules and guidelines. I was very overprotected once I came to live with my grandparents and my dad, who raised me and got out of a really bad situation that I was in previous to that. Because they loved me so much and because they cared about me so much, they wanted to encapsulate me and protect me and shield me from the outside world so that I didn't have to go through what I'd gone through the first 14 years of my life. And that's a beautiful thing. It showed me how much they love me, showed me how much they cared about me, and I am ever grateful and thankful for that. And at the time, that's what I needed. I needed to feel safe. I needed to feel loved. I needed to feel comfortable. But then as I got a little older, I started to be a little bit ungrateful for that. And not even ungrateful, I started to feel a little bit claustrophobic about the rules and about the guidelines that were set forth, only out of love for me, but to protect me. And I wanted to do what the other kids did, and I wanted to wear makeup, and I wanted to go to concerts regularly and be out past 9 o'clock on weekends. Normal kid stuff, or what I perceived to be normal kid stuff at the time. And so that created a little bit of a dissension in me, but at the end of the day, I was just so thankful for everything that I did have, because if it weren't for my family, I wouldn't be alive today. And so I appreciated that and tried to take the good with the bad, as it were. And when I say that, if there were rules, you know, I would be like, well, why can't I? My other friends can. But you're not your other friends, and we're not your other friends' parents. We're who we are, and we don't feel that this is safe for you to do, or we don't want you to do that. Okay, so I'd go back to my room and I'd kind of mope about it, maybe. But I was always thankful for what they were trying to do. I always was smart enough to recognize that they were doing the best that they could for me. They were doing what they knew for me. And so I had to be thankful for that. Even though I got a little bit tweaked, and I was sometimes jealous of my friends who were able to have more personal freedoms and able to go more places and do more things and experience more life than I was able to experience at that time. That's probably the biggest thing for me, experiencing life. Because I'd had such a tough time up to that point, as grateful and thankful and appreciative as I was, and as secure as I felt, I wanted adventure. I wanted to do fun things. I wanted to just live my life and experience things. And I wasn't able to go to the places that the other kids did. So I made my own world. I created my own joy. And that's something that I've always been able to do as far back as I could remember, because of everything that I had to go through as a small child, because of the pain that I had to endure, because of the trauma that I had to face. I found joy in the little things. I found joy in the beauty of a flower, even if it were a dandelion on the front lawn. I found beauty in being able to hold a praying mantis in my hand out on the grass and let it walk across my arm and watch it look at me and its little legs move. And everything. Ladybugs, lightning bugs were my favorite. Fireworks in the sky on the 4th of July. The feeling of the breeze on my face on a hot summer day. Laying on my back for hours looking at the clouds and seeing things in the clouds that nobody else could see. Shapes, creatures, UFOs, you'd like to call them. That's not what I call them, but anything that I could. Roses were one of my favorite flowers, lilies are, but to be able to take in my grandma's rose bushes and smell the flowers when I awoke each morning and went outside, the dew under my bare feet, the feeling of the dirt under my feet as I walked, the coolness of the soil, the sounds of the birds, the feeling of sunshine on my face, and if it were raining, the sensation of rain dripping down my face, going down the back of my shirt, cooling me, feeling the trickle as it traced raindrops got together and formed a rivulet down my back, and feeling it trace along my spine, the sensation of that, touching a prickly flower or a prickly leaf, going out in the woods and smelling the dirt, watching for animals. And if I was forced to stay in the confines of my room before I was saved, let's call it, from some pretty rough times as a child, I would make my own joy in my room. I had a shoebox, and I had these miniature little toys, little chairs and doll toys and miniature things, and I could see and feel my angels around me, protecting me, giving me courage, giving me strength, letting me know that as much as I felt alone, I wasn't alone. They were always there with me. They were always there to take away the mental anguish and the pain to some degree. I felt the warmth and encapsulation around me of their energy when there was no physical being to console me or to protect me or to take care of me at that time. And I would talk to them and they would answer me, and I would hear them telling me to be strong, telling me that it would be okay, telling me that I would get through this, telling me how wonderful I was, how beautiful I was, how smart I was, how brave I was, and letting me know that it wouldn't be like this forever. And so I had these little shoeboxes and these little dollhouses, and I would take pieces of branches and bits of leaves and my little pieces of doll furniture and create a little scenario for them. What's the word they used to use? We used to make them in school when we were elementary school, those little three-sided houses. I can't think of the word right now. I think it's a diorama, but I can't say for sure. Anyway, I would sit there and I would visualize as well. And my angels did help to guide me. They would put me on a path. They helped me to get through what I was going through by helping me to see the beauty in the most simple of things, a shiny penny in a water bowl or in a puddle outside. I used to play in puddles for hours. I had these little plastic lizards. I had a little yellow plastic lizard that was my favorite, and tiny little bathtub sailboats that I would float around the puddles and imagine myself on a journey on a high sea and just being out in a sailboat, free, being able to experience life and enjoy life without any pain or sorrow or hardship. And so, yeah, my angels did guide me, and I learned to visualize, and I learned to manifest, and I learned to focus on something with not just my mind, but with all of my senses. And I would be able to smell the salty ocean air, feel the breeze of the wind, feel the heat of the sun, listen to the sounds of the seagulls and the ripples of the waves as they crashed against the boat gently. So they didn't really crash if they were gentle, but they bumped against the boat. You get my meaning. And I would just do this in as much detail as possible. And I would be able to manifest my joy at that time and keep that joy in my heart. And there were things that I thought about and that I visualized and that I saw with all of that energy that actually transpired. Not at that time, but at a later date when I was able to be in a safe environment. And they were little things, but to me they were big things. I just want to lay outside in the sunshine on my back and watch the clouds and be safe. I just want to listen to the sounds of the birds in nature. I was always trying to be in nature. I was always trying to be surrounded. It always for me was woods and water. Woods and water is where I always felt the safest. And I identified the most with water because we're made of so much water. I mean, if you believe in the astrological, then I'm a water sign. So if you believe in that, that would make sense. But for me, it just calmed me. It soothed me. And in those years, for a lot of that time, I was near a source of water even then. And so that soothed me. And being out in nature soothed me. And when I wasn't able to go outside and I was stuck in the house, my little things that I had around me in my room soothed me and helped me to expand my mind. There was so much thinking time. There was so much mind time that was done during those, I guess you would call them formulative years. They were formulative years in a sense. But there was also a lot of anger inside of me at that time. There was a lot of trauma inside of me at that time and stuff that I had to quench. So while my angels were watching over me and helping me to experience good things, I wasn't learning to filter out the negative. I wasn't being taught how to get that hurt and that trauma out of my body. And that took years. It took years for me to be able to work through each scenario. And this is what I believe it truly takes to fully heal. And so I'm going to share this with you. I worked through each and every scenario, each and every memory that caused me pain. And I would sit and I would reflect upon it and I would bring it back and remember exactly how I felt at that time. I would remember what environment I was in. I would bring back the smells, the tastes, the sounds, the physical feelings. My sense of what I felt physically at that time. And I would bring it back in as a vivid memory, as though I were right there. At times it felt as though I was transported back to that memory. And I would feel the emotion, and I would release the pain and the trauma, and I would cry, or I would scream, or I would yell, or I would stamp my feet or pound my fists and get that emotion out of me. And then I would forgive the situation and the person who put me in that situation and let it go. And I did that for every single memory that I had. And as I healed, there were memories that I had repressed or forgotten about that came to the surface. And subsequently, I would do it with that. And I would keep going. I would keep going. I would go through scenario, through people, through experience until I was drained and there was nothing left. There wasn't a negative experience or a negative memory or a negative person in my life that I had recalled, that I had not felt the energy, released the trauma, released the pain, and forgiven that person and the situation for. And that's when I was able to find true joy. Because I had to get all of that poison out of my system. I had to get all of that repressed emotion out of my system. And these are things that I work on with my clients. When I tell you I've been there in a course of a conversation, and I tell you I know how you feel, it's because I do. It's because I have been there. It's because I have experienced, and maybe not exactly the same scenario as you have, but probably something similar. And if I can't, then based on my life experiences, I can identify with you, I can empathize with you, and I certainly, because I am an empathetic individual, based on my gifts given to me by Father, Creator, Universe, whatever you'd like to call it, I can physically feel what you're feeling. And so that's what makes my healing so effective, is because I'm able to work one-on-one with the client, and I'm able to help them to get all of that out, but also so many different facets to it. So many different facets. But I have to say that as long as they have the free will to continue on in a positive manner, when I heal somebody, they're healed. They're healed. We take it all the way through. And please don't misunderstand me. I've said this many, many times before on my shows over the years, but when I say I healed, I mean myself and source energy healed. Because I'm just a channel, and I'm guided, and I'm given information. It just comes to me, and it's a part of me. It is. It's a part of me, but it's also not from me. So, and let me clarify by saying I do not channel. I have never channeled. I don't let anything into my body. I'm talking about Holy Spirit, pure source energy, angelic energy, creator energy. I'm guided. I get the intuition. You need to progress this way, or you need to help this person that way. And it just flows. So it's a complete thing, and it's an awesome thing. It's a beautiful thing. So people talk to me as a result, especially family members and people close to me. They've come to trust me because of that. And because I can identify with them. I can identify with them. And even if their free will is not allowing them to heal exponentially or entirely at that moment or at that time, they're getting something from our conversations. And that's just humanity as a whole, being able to vent and share your feelings and have somebody that's supportive of how you feel and appreciates how you feel and maybe can give you a different perspective on things. Well, you might see it this way, however. Have you thought about this? Maybe that person wasn't being mean. Maybe they were expressing a different emotion that you mistook. Were you being defensive? What was your state of mind at the time? Do you agree with their statement or not, and why not? How could you have made that conversation better? What would you have changed if you could now? Are you happy with the result of what happened? And sometimes I just need to listen to them and let them vent. Tell them how much I love them. Tell them how much I appreciate them. Tell them how much I value them. And the world values them, even if they don't feel that way at the time. And what I've discovered, that sometimes when we get older, we realize that we raised our children in a manner that maybe wasn't the best way for them in our efforts to protect them and shield them and give them everything that we could because we didn't want them to struggle like we did. Maybe we spoiled them a little bit too much. Maybe we gave them too much. Or maybe we didn't spoil them enough. Maybe they grew up feeling they had a whole bunch of material possessions, but they didn't have the love. Or maybe we gave them both, and because of the way we raised them, it still wasn't enough. They became ungrateful. They became spoiled. They became discontent. They felt enabled. They felt as though, well, I was raised this way my whole life, so therefore the whole world should treat me the way that my parents did. I'm entitled to everything, God damn it, and I'm going to have it my way. Or the kid that didn't have a lot and had to fight and be defensive and fight their way through life. Ego develops all of these different scenarios in which ego has these defense mechanisms that kicks in, that becomes ingrained in a person's personality and in their psyche, so that if something goes even slightly askew, even if they imagine it to be slightly off, and it really isn't, it's a matter of their perception, and with ego, perception is huge. Huge. They're to the point where if something doesn't go my way, I am going to have the biggest tantrum, the biggest anger fit, the biggest hissy fit. And sometimes we see that in both scenarios, the spoiled and then the have-nots, let's call them. The person that has had to fight their way through life to survive. There are some parallels there. But irregardless, we have different ways that we handle situations based on our personal experiences. And sometimes, we're kind of questioning things as we get older. And we're learning things about ourselves. We're learning how to heal, maybe. Maybe we're looking at a scenario where we raised our children one way, and now we're realizing that that's not maybe the way that we should have done it. And now we have to face that consequence. We need to step up and accept responsibility for our actions and come to grips with the fact that, you know what? I screwed up. And now I have to deal with that. And now I have to deal with the aftermath of having a 40-year-old child that acts like an insolent 5-year-old when they don't get their way. Or because of what I had to go through as a kid, I am a really volatile person that nobody wants to be around, and I'm pretty miserable when I don't get my way. And if I'm miserable, then everybody around me is going to be miserable. But they start to realize that about themselves, and so they want to change. They want to be better. And so here we start the metamorphosis. But in the case of a parent, first they need to get over that pain and that hurt when, after raising a child for so many years a certain way, they get hit in the face with the realization that I thought I was doing the right thing, but I ended up doing the wrong thing. And that child turns around and shows that ungrateful side. And it hurts. It hurts the parent. It hurts the mom or dad, or in some cases, both parents that have done what they thought was best to give their child everything that they wanted that they didn't have, to provide them and cushion them and nest them, so that that child did not have to deal with any of this trauma from the outside world. They did what they felt was best, and it turned around and it bit them in the ass. And now they look at their child from a different perspective. What have I done? I've created a monster. I've made a person I've formulated a human being, I've influenced that human being into the person that they are today, and I'm ashamed, and I'm embarrassed, and I'm sad, and I'm hurt, because they look at me like a wallet. Or they're not thankful for a thing that I did for them their entire lives. They feel like they deserved it. They got it. And there's nothing to be thankful for. Why would we be thankful? Thankful? What is thankful? They never learned thankful. They never learned the value of a dollar. They never learned that not everything was going to be handed to them as though they deserved it, irregardless of their actions or their behaviors. And so now the parent feels like, oh my God, what did I do? What did I do? What am I going to do now? How do I fix it? I can't fix it. They're adults. They're living their lives. How are they raising their child, your grandchildren, their children? Are they raising them the same way that you raised yours? Or because of the fact that they felt entitled and that they deserved everything throughout the course of their life, they're just carrying on that trend? How's it playing out for them? See, it's all still the ripple pond effect, right? This is how we potentially, and I don't want to use the word wreck, but this is how we potentially wreck generations. This is that ripple in a pond magnified, because it started with your family, how you were raised, what you didn't want for yourself, what you don't want for your children. So you raised them a different way, and consequently they raised their children based on the way that they were raised. And where is the joy? Where is the goodness? Where is the appreciating the breath of life? Appreciating our health? Appreciating the beauty in that flower? In holding a bug? In a starry sky? In things that are not material, things that are elemental and are free, and we can imbibe into our systems, we can take into our bodies, we can hold on to these things that cost nothing. But to me, are worth more than some very expensive houses. How do we get back to that? How do we get back to the basics? How do we remember that joy is not in a material possession? Although, sometimes we need certain material possessions in order to feel safe, secure, as though we have our privacy, as though we can do what we want because it's our own personal space. I can appreciate that, make no doubt. However, if we don't have joy and beauty in the simplest things as we go along, something tells me that when we get those things that we're striving for, we're not going to be able to fully appreciate them either. Because when you have nothing and you appreciate what you have, fully appreciate what you have with every sense that you have, with every fiber of your being, when you can create joy from nothing, then you will fully be able to appreciate the blessings that are coming to you. And that creates the flow of energy that allows the blessings to come to you. Being happy, being in a joyful state, being satisfied and peaceful with just nature and your own thoughts, and spreading love and spreading kindness and being sensitive in that you feel what's going on around you and you want to make the world a better place, that's where the energy shift happens. And so when you take the ego out of the equation and you don't do for your children out of what you were lacking as a child, when you teach them to have beauty in the simplicity of life and you open them up to feeling and sensing everything around them, and you teach them that to have joy you need to be able to spread joy. What you give is what's going to come back to you. That's where it's at. And some of us, as we get older, are just starting to realize these things. And it's never too late to shift your perspective. And it's never too late to have that flow of energy to where you are truly a beacon of light for everyone that you're around and for everyone that comes into your circle, your space, for every life that you touch. Think about that. If we all were able to do that in varying degrees and keep working at it and striving toward it, what kind of a world would this really be? What kind of peace would we find inside of ourselves that would emanate from our pores, that people would come into contact with us even from across a room and feel that peace and feel that joy and feel that energy? It literally is infectious in a great way. With that being said, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. Please, if you need help, if you need direction, if you need guidance, get a hold of me at Maggie_Hart@outlook.com. And please support the network. We're totally listener funded. We appreciate any donations at all. Anything is great. Whatever you could give us, whatever you could provide, we are so thankful for. Get on the main page, check out the other shows on the network, see if there's something else that tickles your fancy that you may want to listen to as well to incorporate into your weekly repertoire. And if you are a business owner and want to be a superstar, please contact the owner to check out the possibility of becoming a sponsor on the network, whether it be for my show, other shows, or the network in general. If you don't have a professionally done commercial, I'm sure that the owner and the producer would be happy to come up with something that would satisfy you, that is a great way to get your word out about your business and support us at the same time. You're listening here on the break to my good buddy Pat Carr. Pat's an amazing original artist from Louisiana. He is all over the place, SoundClick, Reverb Nation. I just love him. And I hope that you appreciate his music as well. Please get a hold of him and tell him that Maggie sent you and support his music. You can get a hold of him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. We'll be back right after this. we're back for the second half of the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. That was Cool Rain and Warm Tears by my good buddy Pat Carr. We're so appreciative for his music. I just love being able to bring him to you every week and hopefully having you contact him and supporting his music. That would just be so amazing, and I'm sure that he would appreciate that. So the first half of the show, we basically talked about some traumas and maybe some things that we, as we get older, realize that we're doing wrong or have done wrong, whether it be in the rearing of our children or how we behave based on our life experiences. And how can we heal from that? How can we learn from that? How can we grow from that? And so I was talking about just being back to basics and experiencing the miracle and the joy in the little things. And that is so essential because, as I was saying earlier, that's what allows us to acquire and keep that feeling of inner joy and to be able to, as a result, manifest what we desire. We can do what Jesus did. And it's not just a matter of getting what we want, but it's also healing from within and being able to spread that healing energy to others as a result of having that feeling of joy inside us most of the time, or as much of the time as humanly possible. And that also helps to raise the energy of the planet, the vibration of the planet as a whole. Because if we all have more of a positive mindset and we all have the vibes and the energy of being happy and joyous in the small things, then the bad guys can't take that away from us. They want us to have nothing and be happy. And if we can truly be happy with nothing, that's how we're able to get what we want. Because they're defeated. They're defeated. If we have inner joy and inner peace, they can't, it's not something tangible that they can take from us physically that will rob us of our happiness, because we don't need things to be happy. We don't need to raise our family to think that they need things to be happy. And so as a result, we don't have these children, products of our environment that we created, to be ungrateful, insolent children at the age of 40, and then carry that on through their generations, you know, their children's generations, and keep that cycle going. It's so important that we have the mindset from within that we're happy with nothing. And so once we have that, we spread the energy and we spread the positivity, and that love and that light and that joy will bring back to us what it is that we desire. It will. And it'll change the vibration of the planet, and you won't have, we need to get rid of the materialism in society. We need to get rid of the, I want this pair of sneakers or that purse or $200 worth of eyeshadow or whatever it is that they feel makes them happy and makes them feel fulfilled and complete. We need to help people one by one to understand that inside of us is what makes us whole and complete. The feelings that reside within us, the energy that stays within us. And we need to truly forgive us our sins, as it were. Oh, reverting back to my Catholic days there, the indoctrination that was put forth through me, or in front of me through the majority of my childhood into my middle 30s. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins. We need to forgive ourselves for maybe not making the right life choices. And we need to come to grips with the fact that, you know what, we made a mistake and it's okay. What can we do now? For instance, in the case of a grown child, what can we do now to influence that behavior and that mindset that we trained them to develop, that we handed them to become part of their psyche? Well, we set the example. So instead of being the parent that always gives them what they want, we take a step back and we let them acquire what they need. And we don't do this from a place of resentment. I gave you everything, you were ungrateful, and now I'm not going to give you anything anymore, or now I'm going to take back what I gave you. That's not going to get you anywhere, because you're perpetuating the cycle. It's just a different type of cycle. Now you're creating more animosity and more anger inside of that person, and you're allowing them the space to lash out at you and let you know even more how ungrateful they really are. You don't want to do that. What I would suggest you do is from this moment on, make a pact inside of yourself that when you are in the presence of that child or that family member, you are going to show them love, compassion, kindness, honesty, and you're not going to provide the material things. You're not going to give them $150 gifts when they come over. And I was just thinking about you, and I know that you guys needed this, so I thought I would get it for you. No. You're going to show them love, compassion. You're going to give them the gift of your company. You're going to let them see that you love them physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, but from purely an energetic perspective, i.e., when they come to grandma and grandpa's house anymore, the kids aren't going to get fancy presents, and the children aren't going to get the bonuses that you gave them before because they need to fix their plumbing or their car needs repair or whatever. And they're going to probably hate you for that initially, or feel ungrateful and anger toward you initially. But if you keep doing that, and you, with your words, tell them that, you know, I think I've made some choices in my life that weren't the best in regards to how I reared you and how I'd like to help raise your children. I feel like I've given you so much, but I haven't given you what you and I both truly needed. I haven't given you purely the love and the energetic things that would make you, I think, have molded you into a different person than what you are today. And I feel as though that would have made me a different person than what I am today. Because instead of giving you material things, I should have been giving you more of the energetic things to make you truly value what you have, and to value our relationship, and not see me as just the guy that hands out money when I want something, or the person that gives me something to make me happy, or what I feel will make me happy, because that's not truly where the happiness is. It's truly when you have that inner joy, that inner peace. So I'm going to share that with you. This is the greatest gift that I could give to you. The gift of my time, the gift of my love, the gift of my wisdom and knowledge of things that I've learned over the years, if you choose to accept those. Unfortunately, though, folks, don't be surprised, because a lot of kids, especially when we've raised them with that kind of mindset, are not going to be open, because you know what? You've enabled them to realize inside of themselves, to think inside of themselves, which has become part of their psyche, so therefore it emanates as a realization from them that my parents don't know shit. I know it all. I know better than them. What do they know? They don't have anything to teach me. They didn't teach me anything other than they give me stuff, and I got stuff, and I got what I wanted, and so there was no lesson to be learned, and so they were stupid. You may get that reaction at first. Keep doing it, though. Be firm. be loving. I want to spend time with you. I want to enjoy your company. And I want you to fully enjoy my time and my company without leaving here with some sort of monetary or physical gift. And if they stop coming around, then they're not ready. But you need to be ready. And you need to harden your heart and understand that now you're going to come to grips with your actions. You're going to take responsibility for your actions. As much as it hurts you and as much as it pains you, you have to realize that until and if that child is ready to accept you purely based on love and what you have to offer to them spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, as well as physically, when I say physically, an open source of affection, hugs, kisses, holding hands with them, letting them know through physical touch how much they mean and have always meant to you, and not give them the physical stuff, and see how long it takes for them to come back to you. They may never. And some of you will buckle, and some of you will say, you know what, I can't deal with this. I need to see my kids and my grandkids. I need to have that. And if I don't have that, I'm going to wither up and die. I can't be without them. It's too painful. So I'm going to go back to what I did before and continue to buy their affection. Okay. That's your choice. But it's never too late to change the flow and the pattern. It's never too late to try and teach your children that you supposedly love more than life itself, and you supposedly value more than your own life. It's never too late to teach them by example. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. But with any luck, and there's no luck in life, right? If they have the guidance within their soul, they have the free will to decide that, you know what? This is my parent. I'm going to take them as they are. They've given me so much, and I'm so thankful and appreciative and grateful for all that they have given me, that now it's my turn to give back to them. I want to give them back the same energy that they're giving me. I want to give them the emotional support. I want to help them in their older age. I want to come over and cut their grass just so they don't have to. I want to come over and come with a couple of bags of groceries just so that they don't have to make that trip to the store. Make their day better. I want to do things, acts of kindness for them that they've done for me over and over and over repeatedly and without fail throughout the years. I want to give back to them, and I want to hug them, and I want to kiss them while they're still here on the planet to be able to do that with. And they're going to make that choice or they're not. But at least you can go to bed at night knowing that you tried. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be painful. But if you really want to progress spiritually, and if you want to help them to progress spiritually, it's a choice you have to make. Same with the scenario of the person that's dealt with inner trauma, and so their psyche, their ego has formed the mindset that I have to have my way and I'll do anything that I can to get my way because I wasn't able to have my way as a kid or a younger life or in a marriage that was bad. And so the psyche and the ego, you know, develop this temperament of I'm going to scream and yell and be forceful and get my way, or I'm going to whine and I'm going to cry to get my way. Same thing with that type of personality. Because of the traumas that they've endured and the choices that have been put forth before them in their formative years, maybe not necessarily even a matter of their choice, but just because of life situations, they need to learn to deal with situations from a calmer, more rational standpoint And what helps those people to evolve and to grow is when they come to the epiphany, they have that aha moment that maybe somebody approaches them and speaks to them in the manner in which they've spoken to others over the course of the years, and maybe it's opened their eyes. Oh my gosh, was I really like that? Is that how people perceive me? Is that how I come across to other people? If I don't get my way, I scream and yell and stamp my feet and have a hissy fit, or I burst into tears and fall on the floor wailing and crying and throwing the equivalent to a tantrum that a three-year-old would have in a supermarket when they can't get the toy that they want. When that kind of attitude is presented to them, they don't like it very much. And that may be what wakes them up to understand that, oh my goodness, I got to change the way I live. How do people perceive you? How has your behavior and your attitude and your tone of voice and your overall demeanor affected others? And what can you do to promote yourself in a more positive way? To let people really see your inner light, the beauty that's within you, the true person that you are before ego took over and developed this psyche that is convinced you that this is the way that you need to be in order to survive. It's not. It's not. And hopefully we're all getting to the point where we can discover this within ourselves and make things better for ourselves and for the planet as a whole. Thanks all for listening. We'll see you next week. I appreciate each and every one of you and wish you all of the continued success on your individual journeys. Good night.